quite clearly the fact that the UN Secretary General asked for additional human and material resources, because the increase in resources is not just in the number of troops, but also in terms of material, in terms of equipment. And the fact that that request came from the Secretary General is an indication that he and the United Nations, the international community, are acutely aware of how very dangerous the situation is in Sudan. Obviously, making that pledge now become a concrete reality is not going to happen overnight. Very likely, in the initial phases, the additional resources will have to come from other missions in the region, just because that's how it works. It's probably not going to be very easy to find thousands of extra troops and get them to South Sudan other than from neighboring countries. Whether that's going to be just as a stopgap in the initial phases or what will happen later remains to be seen. But there's quite clearly the international community is aware of how difficult the situation is and then has responded accordingly. The big challenge now for the international communities is to translate that into concrete measures that can make a difference to the civilian population on the ground, because the UN mission in South Sudan has not been able to provide protection for the civilian population in the past. We've seen fighting in different parts of South Sudan, even just earlier this year, where large numbers of civilians were killed, and the UN mission was not able to meet those challenges. So it is to be hoped that they will be able to do so with the increased resources. At the same time, what is absolutely necessary and very urgent is for warring parties, both President Salva Kiir and other political and military leaders from the Dinka community, and then former Vice President Riek Machar, and political and military leaders from the newer community, to pull back from the brink, to call on the forces that are under their commands, but also on the many civilians who are armed and who are loyal to them, but who may be acting on their own initiative, to give them orders and to appeal to them to stop targeting civilians, to make it clear that those who are responsible for committing atrocities will have to be held accountable. And again, in South Sudan, there is a very bad history in this sense, because those who have committed atrocities in the past, even in the very recent past, know that they have not been held to account. So there is such an atmosphere of impunity that it doesn't bode well for the current crisis. Obviously, the current crisis is on a greater level than what we've seen recently in South Sudan. So there is a need for those who are responsible for the escalation that has occurred and that is continuing to occur to take responsibility and to do what they need to do. At the moment, we've not seen either side move in that direction.
Why haven't they called for an end to hostilities?
That's a question that really only the two leaders of the respective communities can answer. History will judge them by what they do. At the moment, we are seeing, on the one hand, some level of political negotiation, some of which we know about. There may be other initiatives that are confidential and they're not being made public. But as well as these attempted negotiations, we are seeing continued fighting, and we're not seeing the sort of appeals by either side and orders given by either side to stop the fighting. And there appears to be a situation where both sides are trying to hold on to territory or to gain territory before any ceasefire or any political negotiation takes place in earnest.
Are the inter-ethnic clashes the responsibility of Salva Kiir and Riek Machar?
Quite clearly, we're talking about people who are at the top of the leadership, of the political and military leadership in South Sudan. President Salva Kiir is president of South Sudan at the moment. Riek Machar was the vice president until a few months ago. They quite clearly have a very high level of responsibility. In addition, as I said, South Sudan has a situation of with the background of decades of war, weapons are very readily available. So there are very, very large numbers of civilians who are armed. And in this kind of situation, we have seen some of the civilians use their weapons in certain contributing to the political fighting. The fighting has taken a very ethnic dimension from day one, and that remains a huge problem. Hence the need for those who are not just because they are in charge as president, former vice president, the military commanders who are siding with one side or another, but also as leaders of the different communities to appeal to the civilians who are not formally under their commands because they are not part of the armed or security forces, but who are fighting at the moment along tribal and ethnic lines in support of one or the other side.